The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show. Listen live on the freeradio.com app.
Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. Got some good news and some bad news to start things off today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, why don't we start today's show with some bad news?
So police in Georgia say a suspect fled on foot from a traffic stop and, unfortunately for him, forgot his winning lottery ticket. Now, it wasn't like a $1 million win or anything like that, but if you're going to get out of the car and run, at least grab your $100 scratcher, which you had just scratched off a couple of minutes before. Left that in the car, so that now becomes police property. The Cherokee County Sheriff's Office said deputies attempted to stop a vehicle. The unidentified suspect abandoned the vehicle, fled on foot, and the officer posted on Facebook the ticket that they were getting, as well as the $100 winning lottery ticket, and said, "You can come claim your ticket at the police department. It'll be here waiting for you. Congratulations, by the way." So they're still looking for the guy, and they're trying to bait him back with his winning ticket.
There is nothing. Are you guys, do you like scratchers?
I do not.
I've never played.
Never played a scratcher?
They're too messy, and I never win. Do you really?
Oh, yeah. The crossword ones, even.
Oh, no. That's my favorite. I love scratchers, but I'm so lazy that there are several states that you can just scratch off the back. Like, you scratch it, and then you just use the app, the state lotto app, and it tells you if you won or not. You don't even have to do anything else.
You don't have to do anything else, like scratch off the front?
You just scratch off the barcode.
Yeah, that's the barcode. They scan it.
No, I get it.
That amount of lazy.
The fun part is scratching it off.
No,
the
fun part's finding out whether or not you won or not.
No, it's not, because I never win. That's not the fun part at all. It's the anticipation, like, ooh, there's a, what is that? That's a zero.
No, it's always like two $40,000 ones and then a middle finger.
They should just start doing that. Just cut to the chase, man. It's like, what is this spelling out? F-U. Oh, no. You're so rude. So, some good news today as well. Zero emissions trucks set to make a New Zealand debut and make New Zealand a world leader in hydrogen energy. This is kind of nuts. So, the roads of New Zealand will soon be worked over by long-distance trucks powered entirely by ultra-sustainable hydrogen-powered electric fuel cells.
Sounds like it's easy to explode, no?
I mean, so does gas, though, right?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, capable of traveling 310 miles on one tank, these special fuel cells use hydrogen stored on board and oxygen from the atmosphere to generate electricity and power the car. And since H+O, H2O, the only emission of any kind coming out of the tailpipe, it's water, essentially.
Okay.
Which is pretty nuts.
I mean, that's cool.
I mean, 310 miles is a pretty good clip, too, right? I mean, you're talking about couple hours of driving, at least 4 hours.
That's
going to
be dirty water, though. Like, I'm envisioning like rain all of a sudden just like coming out behind every single car. Like, that's got to be at least some kind of dirty water.
Now, see, the reason I don't like this is not for the environmental implications that it could have and could, you know, revolutionize things along with, you know, the electric cars that are already on the road today. I don't want to watch a movie 20 years from now where some dude is like firing a machine gun at a car in like heat three, whatever, you know, they've resurrected Robert De Niro and Val Kilmer's ghost, and the car doesn't blow up. It just like kind of just like leaks some water,
turns
like
into a puddle.
Yeah, that's
like that. The Wicked Witch of the West. It just turns into a puddle on the ground. So you need cars to blow up? I feel like there's other stuff that can still blow up.
Nah, man, you got cars. Cars
well, just go like, back in a time. You know what I mean?
They're going to figure out a way to blow something up. Us as Americans love explosions so much. It's kind of like Jaws. They're like, how can we have an entire shark explode in the middle of the ocean? They figured it out, didn't they?
Fair enough.
Val Kilmer is going to have a propane tank in his mouth.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So this is a headline that you very rarely see. There is a guy who is a billionaire by the name of Chuck Feeney, 89 years old, raked in billions of dollars over the years.
Was he on Boy Meets World?
He was. He had to have been Mr. Feeney.
That is not the same guy. This is a different Mr. Feeney. He raked in billions of dollars with those duty free shops that you see at airports all over the world. You know what I'm talking about? Where you can like land somewhere and you don't have to pay taxes. It's mostly international airports, I think.
Yeah, I always feel like you're still not getting a good deal somehow, way. You're like, but you're just there and you're like, oh, booze. I'm gonna buy something. Or cologne.
Always a lot of cologne, always cartons of cigarettes, and a whole bunch of booze. Well, this guy made billions of dollars doing that. $8 billion to be exact. And he is now broke. And
what did he do?
You normally don't hear the billionaires going broke.
Did he go into business with MC Hammer? What happened?
No, he actually gave it all away, and he said he is happier than ever.
Yeah, That's a lie.
He gave $3.7 billion to education, awesome. Including $1 billion to his alma mater at Cornell. He gave $870 million to human rights and social change, $62 million in grants to abolish the death penalty in the U.S., $76 million for grassroots campaigns supporting the passage of Obamacare so people can have health care, according to Forbes. So he has given away all of his money.
Wow.
And he said he could not be happier.
Good for this guy. You know, I mean, there's a lot of times where we find out about these foundations that, you know, the billionaires set up and they're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to give all my money away. Then it's just really another way to transfer money to either other people in their family or their kids or whoever it may be. This dude legit gave away $8 billion to amazing organizations, education, healthcare, all of that I am all on board for. And he always apparently has lived frugally.
But I have a feeling, though, that he's not just like riding around on like $7 an hour salary. Like he left himself a little bit.
So he did. He left himself $2 million. And when you think about a fortune of $8 billion, that's $8,000 million. He had $8,000 and he kept two. He gave away $7,998.
But $8,000 living in like squalor.
All the way except for two. Well, no, I mean, like, it's still $2 million,
yes.
But you're not living like a king off of $2 million if that's your whole retirement nest egg, right? So good for him, man. Like you said, Mahoney, it's very rare that you see a story like this, that somebody actually does it where they give away all their money, especially to the tune of billions of dollars.
It's amazing.
Your move, Bezos.
Yeah, right. There's no way.
His wife did say she's going to do the same thing. We'll see. Yeah, I hope she's...
Jeff's already like, yeah, I gave away $60
billion. Yeah.
So Park MGM on the Strip is going to open as the first fully smoke-free casino when it reopens on September 30th. So obviously MGM Resorts, their portfolio has kind of slowly been ticking back up and they've been adding more and more to it. Well, this is a big deal because a lot of people don't smoke and a lot of people don't want to be around a whole bunch of smoke.
Especially during a pandemic that's a respiratory virus, you know?
And you don't want a bunch of people breathing stuff into the air and everything else. So long story short, it's a 3,000 room property, recently redone, great venue over there. But Park MGM, which also has a bunch of good restaurants, reopening as a smoke-free, the first fully smoke-free property in Las Vegas starting on September 30th. So that's
personally
pretty cool.
I can't believe that we still allow anywhere in the United States smoking indoors.
Agree.
Like, that blows my mind still.
Well, I mean, some places don't. I mean, coming from Kentucky, moving to Las Vegas, you being able to smoke inside like a basic PT's bar or just any bar around here. Whenever I first walked in, I was like, excuse me, sir, can you please put that out? But then I realized I was in the minority of that, you know, just not being normal for me. And I hate it because I always feel like I have to go home and wash my clothes right after.
I was talking to somebody the other day, though, who is a smoker. And they were telling me that the one thing that they miss about, like, if they're in a casino or a place you can't smoke indoors, is that kind of like going outside, the outside smoking camaraderie is what they miss.
Oh, really?
Well, then just go outside and smoke. Just try to rally up a bunch of people and go outside and smoke.
You wanna go outside and smoke?
Or go to Park MGM where that's going to happen. There's going to be a little area outside where you can go stand under a carport. So Apple announced two new Apple Watches and iPad and subscription services. So this was kind of a big deal when this happened on Tuesday. Not really, nowhere near where the...
You think this was a big deal?
I mean, they made a big lead up to it. Like, we got a whole bunch of cool announcements, and then it was just sort of like, here's a couple of new... The only thing that really stood out to me is the new Apple Watch.
Well, you can EKG anywhere, but like, I don't trust that EKG.
It can test your blood oxygen level, which is interesting.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
But other than that, it's sort of like, and they rolled EKG out some new subscription stuff and everything
else. The subscription stuff, it hasn't hit yet, but I do find it to be interesting because I do subscribe to Apple News and I use Apple Music for my phone because I've got a bunch of HomePods at home. So I use those and... One of the things that I saw is that you can share it with up to, they're like encouraging sharing with up to five people. And the five people that you share it with will all have private accounts. So you have like an iCloud account where you can store, 50 or 200 gigs of whatever you need. But if you're sharing it with your wife, your parents, your kids, everybody has their own separate one. So it's not like one just big box. So I thought that was pretty cool too. And I'm not sure, Ian, have you been able to figure out whether or not that is the all-in price or is that a price per person?
No, that is the all-in price. Actually, up to six people.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. Well, did you see that Apple's now teaming up with Peloton as well? So that
Apple
you're not
Fitness
gonna,
is coming
so
out.
Now you're not going to be, you won't get peer pressured in to get onto that bike by your wife because she rides. Sharing a cloud.
My watch will say, hey, fatty, why don't you go get on the bike? And I'll be like, nah, man, I'm going to go eat a cheeseburger.
Does the virtual shaming ever work for you?
Oh, like
the,
yes.
Like get up and do more. Like I've got a Fitbit.
On my Apple Watch all the time. It's like your rings are normally further ahead than they should be. I'm like, fine, I'll go walk around.
No, mine is whenever it's like, you should breathe. I'm like, what? Am I holding my breath right now? Am I anxiety peaking? Can you feel that? Technology? Like, you
know,
I hate that.
Yeah, you know too much about me.
No robot.
That's the only one that drives me nuts.
Yeah.
No. I've seen Terminator 2. I know how this ends.
How does it end? I've never
Judgment
seen
Judgment Day.
Oh.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, you guys are back in the studio. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, it sucks to know that Mahoney's actually wearing pants. How about you guys just make the studio a pantsless studio?
Message deleted.
Oh, my man. Don't you worry. Mahoney has yet to put on a pair of pants yet. We were moving some stuff yesterday around the office, and his pants literally were falling down. He was carrying a box down the hallway, and he's like, oh, no. Oh, no, my pants are falling down. Oh, no. And he starts doing the penguin waddle to try to keep him up. And it didn't work, so we straight up saw Mahoney's full ass yesterday.
You saw my full ass covered in the Duluth Trading Company Armachillo
yes.
underwear.
Of course. Not your bare ass. You do have
boxers,
the decency to put on some boxers.
To be fair, I also have worn the same shorts for like 6 days in a row. I have not put on shoes. Still wear my slides every day. So, I mean, even though we broadcasted from home for 6 months and, you know, we've just been back in the studio a little over a week now, you know, it's still taking some adjustments, baby steps.
Sir, yeah. Have you washed those?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, my wife has.
I was getting
His
nervous.
His pants also fell down again this morning. He was setting up some new lights in the studio for our stream that we're firing up at about 8 o'clock this morning.
I don't like wearing a belt because it digs into my gut.
Yeah.
So it's like,
there's a solution, you know.
Is there?
Yes.
What is it? Do they have these like flexible belts?
They have.
It's called a bungee cord. He's one of those.
Please leave a message after the tone.
You know what's crazy? The fact that we can't remember how we at one point in time like couldn't ride a bike at all. We're all just so used to it now that like we have no clue like what it was like not knowing how to do it. Very strange.
Message deleted.
Yeah, you also have the uncanny ability to pick it right back up. I mean, you think about the things that you were really good at when you were younger. And, you know, for me, being a distance runner, I used to do that all the time. That's what I did when I was a kid. Yeah. And now if I'm going to, like, go out and snap off a 10K, it's going to be a thing. But yeah. Riding a bike, like, you never have trouble figuring it out again, right?
Not once. I mean, I ride a bike probably maybe 2 times a year. Like if my wife and I go to Newport and we'll ride up and down the little boardwalk there.
Yep.
And that's about the only time riding beach cruisers. But like outside of that, you know, I think there was probably a good 8-year span where I did not ride a bike at all and still was able to get back up on it. No problem.
No, I haven't ridden a bike in forever, but I'm sitting here wondering of other things that we used to do as a kid, like skateboarding or rollerblading.
I'm not getting on it. I can still rollerblade like the Dickens.
I do not believe
that. I'll cross you up, man.
Last time you got hit by a minivan.
I got hit by a minivan when I was a teenager.
Oldsmobile. Did you get dragged by a Buick or something?
But that was when I was younger, man. That was, you know, it's not my fault people don't pay attention where they're driving. I can still chop it up with the best of them on some rollerblades.
You're going to cross me up, but you can't cross up an old lady in a Buick.
You try to outrun a Buick.
Please leave a message after the tone.
All these changes. Just please don't leave us again. Love the show. Bye.
Message deleted.
I mean, changes are happening on the show. The changes are happening in the world. You know, I mean, none of us were planning for coronavirus. And, you know, wherever you may be listening today, this is probably different.
Yeah.
And the world is changing, and we are all trying to adapt to it. And once you know, there is a vaccine and we can stop wearing masks and all of us can get back to work again. And
Do you think they're just going to cancel us in these places that have picked us up?
Day one.
San Diego's like, okay, yeah.
No. You were the virus.
Nice experiment. See you later.
Here's what's making news.
So there's been some speculation about this, but now it is happening. Big Ten football is back. So as they announced earlier, they were going to postpone the season, likely push it to spring because of everything that's going on with COVID-19. The conference says it is reversing the postponement and will start on October 24th. So just about 5 weeks from now. and they will plan to include a daily rapid COVID-19 testing to make sure that nobody is getting sick. But Big Ten football is back.
So that's kind of weird, specifically because if they're starting in October, is everybody going to have the same end date? How is that going to work as far as like a championship? Is there going to be a championship?
Also, do we not just see what happened at LSU where literally everyone got COVID?
Well, did they or did the coach just say that everyone
got COVID? He said that pretty much everyone on my team's already had COVID.
The alligator come to life.
Coach O?
Yeah.
I love him, man. He's
Coach O.
No, Coach O.
But, yeah, I mean, if he said everybody has COVID on his team, I mean, I'm going to take him at his word for it.
Well, he said everyone
has had it
at some point.
Which I think that is actually him trying to be like, we're moving forward and we're progressing into our program as, you know, nobody else can get it at this point is what. But I feel like he was trying to make it seem
just
like
dirty
anyways.
Pool, pay these kids. You know, the NCAA has been you know, using and abusing these kids for years and years and years. And you're like, well, they go on and they make billions and billions of dollars. No, 99% of them don't.
Yeah, no, I mean, if it was guaranteed that they all got to go to the pros after they went through college, then it would be one thing, but it's not like that, man.
Yeah.
Sony has pushed back against a report that they're reducing production of the PlayStation 5. They've been pretty tight-lipped about this whole thing. Mahoney, you're the gamer around here. Are you excited about the PS5?
I am. I think it's, you know, these next-gen consoles look pretty amazing, and some of the games that they have coming out for them. I have a feeling, you know, we've seen kind of a gaming renaissance during the early parts of COVID. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Twitch and everything else just blew up because, I mean, there were no other sports on. And I think that opened the eyes of a lot of people to esports and gaming. And on top of that, I think that people are just going to continue to game. And it's going to be one of the biggest things ever, man. I think this is going to be one of the biggest consoles we've seen.
So Kraft said that they're going to try to cut $2 billion from Kraft Heinz in order to turn the company around. I don't understand how Big Ketchup gets into trouble.
Ketchup goes on everything.
Right, everything.
It really does. And they even have all kinds of flavors of ketchup now that I didn't even know existed.
Okay. Spicy ketchup?
I just want to try something here. Mahoney, you're a food aficionado. You love ketchup. Yeah. You love everything about
it. Who doesn't love ketchup?
Can you name five different types of ketchup?
Sriracha ketchup?
No. I'm talking five different brands.
Oh.
Yeah, well, I could name two. I could go...
The important ones.
Hunt's, yes. Which is garbage.
Oh.
And Heinz, which is Heinz 57.
Right.
Yeah.
Isn't there a Klein's, too?
Klein's?
Or am I thinking of...
There's like fancy ketchup, which, what does fancy even mean? It's like natural. It's fancy. If you see something that says fancy natural and you're
that
like...
That means it's neither fancy or natural. Yeah.
America's Choice?
That's not a real...
Del Monte?
That's what
Del
I mean.
Del Monte is...
Like, there's other brands out there, but...
Who's using
Heinz
them?
Is the brand.
Is the brand.
Yeah, like if somebody busts out Hunt's, I'm like, what's wrong with you, man?
Like who hurt
it's
you?
Heinz.
Who did this to you?
Yeah.
It's like the person who asked for 57 sauce instead of A1. Like, there's...
I mean,
everyone's got their category. Now, everyone's got their lane, man.
That's a difference.
Steak sauce.
But don't put steak sauce on any steak to begin with. Just season it with salt.
But yeah, they say they're trying to turn things around. Oh, some butter, a little melted butter on there.
Well, so I will say, though, my wife and I did buy some like truffle ketchup from Trader Joe's.
Go on.
Which is legit. And it was like $2.
Okay.
It's got a little stink in it.
No, it's got a little truffle oil in it.
Which stinks.
I love this. What, you don't like truffle?
I love truffle,
no,
but
I'm
not. It's stinky, though.
I'll mix, like, if I'm making some Kraft macaroni and cheese, which is, I don't care what anybody says, I am a grown-ass man. I still love the powdered cheese.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I will mix in some truffle oil in there and take it to the next level.
So this is kind of sad and funny at the same time. Chuck E. Cheese's parent company asked a bankruptcy court to approve settlements to destroy $7 billion paper prize tickets that have built up in the company's supply chain as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. So it's enough tickets to fill approximately a 65-foot cargo character. Excuse me, 65 40-foot cargo shipping containers.
What was that?
65 40-foot cargo shipping containers.
So 65 40-foot cars.
I don't really understand why they would break it down like that either.
That's a
but
lot.
A lot of shipping containers.
It's like semis.
It will cost $2.28 million to destroy the tickets, which also doesn't make any sense.
Like, so this is so many numbers.
Like,
they got 7 billion tickets. They need to destroy them. It's going to cost $3 million to destroy them. That's what they're looking to do.
Yeah.
Or you could go take those 7 billion tickets, go to your local Chuck E. Cheese,
and
trade them all in.
One spider ring.
Yes.
Follow the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on social media. At Dave and Mahoney.
Tipsy or toddler?
I did not make makeup.
you hang out with any friends that sometimes get to the point of getting really, really drunk and really mumbling and just sort of talking at still 100 miles an hour, even though the rest of their motor skills are basically gone, you understand what it's like to encounter somebody that would probably fit well into this game. It's called Tipsy or Toddler, and you're trying to figure out if the things were said by a person who is just hammered or a little kid.
Yeah, the more drinks you have, the further back you progress.
Yes, you basically become a three-year-old.
But you have so much confidence, though. Why is that?
Well, just like a toddler, right?
Or we start crying for no reason.
Yeah. So true.
We're hungry.
That one hit home.
Scared easily.
You want to go to sleep.
Yeah. You just doze
so
off
tired.
While you're sitting at the table. You know, these things happen. All right, so we're going to read what was actually said in these clips. It's Mahoney versus Audrey. And Mahoney, you're up first. Take it away with number one.
But no bucket. It's a bucket. It's a bucket.
Is that a tipsy person or a toddler? That's tricky.
That is a toddler.
It is. Well done. Mm-hmm. Let's listen.
Read you like a
but no bucket. It's bucket. It's bucket.
Oh boy.
Oops. Oh no. Uh-oh.
Did he just have a little bit of a speech impediment? Is he just trying to say something else?
Audrey on the board with one. Take it away with number two.
Hey, it is no brotus kindness. Let's see zap. Hey, Mom, I today or no?
Is that a tipsy person or a toddler?
I'm going to go that is a tipsy person.
Tipsy person is correct. Very nice. Both of you.
Very tipsy.
I feel like I sounded like a Sim. You guys remember Sims?
No.
Not really.
Never played that nerd stuff.
What the?
Number three. Here we go.
Were you not going to play it?
The clip, sir.
Oh, sorry, sorry, sorry.
It did not produce Guinness. This is a lamb. A
wow.
Is that Scottish?
Some sort of accent. I think he hit that intro.
I heard the word lamb at some point.
All right, here we go on to number three. Ring in by saying your name when you think you know the correct answer. Carnivores. Giant coyotes. Dursa Sasquatch.
Mahoney.
Audrey.
Standing behind him. Mahoney?
That is a toddler.
A toddler is...
incorrect.
Correct.
Very nice.
Very nice, Mahoney. Let's have a listen.
They were carnivorous, giant coyotes. There's a Sasquatch standing behind them.
Is that kid high?
That sounds like a deep, man. He's going through. Is he going? He's going on looking for his like spirit quest or something right there, man.
Mahoney, you have 2 points. Audrey, only one. Mahoney, if you get another one, you win. Ian, no. Here we go on to number four.
Clip number four. You make me some chicken la pica. Don't call me Christmas pickle ever. And I got to take her food because I'm hokey.
Audrey.
Audrey?
That's a drunk person.
Nope.
It is not.
No.
Mahoney wins.
Oh, that's a toddler. Wow. Off the top rope.
Let's listen.
Can you make me some chicken and pickle? Don't call me chicken and pickle. Ever! And I can't take your food. Because I'm hokey.
Because I'm hokey.
No, I'm hungry.
Oh, hungry.
I thought it was hokey.
She said I'm going to take your food because I'm hungry.
Because I'm hokey.
It's Top Stories. Here's what's making news.
So when you think about frivolous lawsuits, the first thing that comes to your mind, maybe something like, I don't know, pretending like you're more hurt than you are, slipping in a store, you know, that's the sort of thing where kind of like, yeah, this is a little ridiculous, right?
Hot coffee was one of the things for many years. The woman spilling coffee getting millions until the actual documentary Hot Coffee came out.
And you're like, she deserved every penny of that and then some.
Yeah. And she got screwed out of that. So, yeah I mean, we do the frivolous lawsuits. A lot of people think that, you know, even though when I was hit, you know, head on by, you know, a reckless driver, Dave.
Head on.
Some lady bumped into you in a parking lot. You get head on.
You shame me into not taking care of my family.
Do not sue the old lady.
I'm not suing her. I would have been suing the insurance company. And my lawyer...
Her insurance is going to go up,
My lawyer can no longer buy the eighth Porsche.
She was going 11 miles an hour, man. Come on, relax.
Maybe.
You know what that stopped. Is in kilometers? Fast.
Well, this is a ridiculous lawsuit. Two people have filed a class action lawsuit against Anheuser-Busch for false advertising because they say the Lime-A-Rita doesn't contain any tequila, and it's false advertising.
Were we under the impression that the Lime-A-Rita had tequila?
I mean, kind of. I mean, sort of? I didn't think that it was beer.
But let me just go ahead and do a full stop on this. Your lawsuit, stupid. Lime-A-Ritas, I don't know who would drink that, especially when this other product is on the market. I just saw this. Red Lobster has just introduced the new Mountain Dew margarita.
With that county coffee, baby.
Look out.
That's just a mixed drink, though. That's just Mountain Dew and tequila mixed.
Have you ever had Mountain Dew with anything? Anyone here?
No.
No?
No.
Yeah,
maybe vodka.
Vodka? Because I actually think that vodka and Mountain Dew would probably be pretty good.
Yeah, if you do like a lemon vodka or a lime vodka.
I want to Well, if you mix it with triple sec too, you know, the orange in there would you know, counteract well, but I want a code red margarita. Ooh. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you think that's
what
that's
is code red flavor? Is it just red flavor?
Red. Yeah. Red.
So ridiculous.
Diabetes. You know, it's not good for you. It's more, there's more sugar per, I think, per serving in a Mountain Dew than any other name brand soda out
there. That's why they have a Mountain Dew mouth. Wait, it's the loss of teeth.
Is that
from drinking too much Mountain Dew?
That's meth.
Well,
mouth.
And meth.
That's well, meth. No, but yeah. Also Mountain Dew mouth. That's in Appalachia.
So vinyl record sales surpassed CDs for the first time since the 1980s. I get that. I mean, why would anyone buy a CD at this point? Does your car even have a CD player?
No, it doesn't, but I collect
CDs. My car
CDs.
Does. But I've had the same CD in there for 8 years. I've had same. Like that Hozier CD,
oh,
his first
so
album.
Good.
Take me to church.
That is a damn, I like it.
That album's
dope. Anytime I get emotional, I'll just flip over the CD and I'm like, oh.
Jackie and Wilson's a jam on that one.
Oh. Yeah. It's church, so good.
What is the Undead Scene? Or God, man, I forget what track that is. But
last time I was in your car, you were like, yo, listen to this song, tell me what you think. And it was Nina Cried Power. And you were blaring it on all speakers.
That was the new, it just had just come out.
Yeah, it was
just come out.
But no, but I collect CDs, though, to answer your question. Like, I don't open them.
Wait, you still get new ones, though?
Yeah, but I don't, I don't, because it's like the sentiment of like growing up in the CD era for me. I also collect vinyl, but like I'm a book person. Like, I want to hold something in my hand. I don't want it just on like an MP3.
I don't care about my DVDs, like how my movies were. My wife still has.
We also have DVDs,
like old school VHSs. That
the old
she's
school
saving.
Disney VHSs and those like padded cases. Like there's some nostalgia there for me.
I feel
me.
Like those are made out of like asbestos.
They for sure are. Yeah.
That's why they go for so much money on eBay now.
Why does this have insulation in it? Like what is going on here?
But I don't care about CDs. I don't care about movies. What if they're physical? I like all those digital. I threw out everything that I could get digitally, but books. That's the
books,
one.
Yeah.
I cannot
books,
do books on an e-reader. Like,
no,
that
no.
kills my eyes.
Same. I have so many unread books in my house. I'm like, I'll get to that later. Never.
And finally, it seems like it'd be a bad idea if you work for the Drug Enforcement Agency to conspire with the drug cartel, but one guy did not get the memo on that. He's now facing 19 federal counts, including bank fraud, having diverted millions of dollars in drug proceeds from DEA control to his own personal bank accounts. Cool. He's actually pleaded guilty to all 19 federal counts, so he is in big trouble. But he was laying pretty low. He did resign in 2018 after there's a bunch of stories about him having these wild parties on yachts with bikini-clad prostitutes.
Yeah. That sounds kind of fun. Wait, what a time for
Audrey.
That guy. Yeah. I don't know.
You can't be doing that with public money.
A $30,000 Tiffany diamond ring for his significant other, a BMW, 3 Land Rovers, and a $767,000 house, as well as other homes in South Florida and Puerto Rico, where him and his wife had been living.
You watch The Departed and Narcos once, and this is what happens.
This is what happens. So, note to self, if you ever start working for the DEA and you steal millions of dollars, maybe lay
Throw
low.
Party.
Audrey's like, got my bikini ready.
Call or text the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show anytime at 833-YO-DUMMY.
What is the grossest place that you've ever lived? I remember distinctly being in college, and we were so excited because we had this house, and it was me and two other dudes that lived there, and there was always some random guy that would also sleep on the couch. Not always the same guy, just always some random guy.
Yeah.
Was it Stephen Wright?
It was not Stephen Wright. But we got a kegerator. You guys know what a kegerator is?
Is it a refrigerator for your keg?
Pretty much. But it's, you know, the sort of thing that you normally
did
see
you
in a bar.
Buy a real one, or did you buy an old refrigerator and convert it?
No. So it was a real kegerator, but it was Very, very old. We bought it off of Craigslist, which was pretty sketchy back then.
They had Craigslist back then?
Craigslist has been around since the 90s.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But we bought it off Craigslist, and it was not so gently used. Well, long story short, super excited to get this kegerator because, hello, we're now the life of the party.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It sort of half worked, which was good enough for us. It would pour out mostly carbonated beer. But what we didn't know is that it also leaked. And so it took us a while to figure out what that smell was.
Oh, no.
And we had this rug that was underneath it in the kitchen that was on the linoleum.
No.
It had gotten so bad that when we lifted it up, it was nothing but mold underneath the rug. But it also molded through the linoleum, which I didn't even know was possible.
Oh,
the landlord was so mad he had to come in and replace about three quarters of the linoleum in the, which is also very sketchy because like who cuts linoleum and doesn't just take it all out? It's just not that expensive.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, so it was pretty, but it was kind of like a frat house. You know, we were in college at the time and it was.
Frat houses are always the grossest ones to live in, especially if you were the party house frat house.
That we were. Greg said a compartment on an aircraft carrier, 130 flight deck workers crammed into 2,000 square feet. You can imagine the stench. 130
just
different people. Just all ass.
Just in cots? How does that even work? Oh my gosh. This one actually came through on our Instagram at David Mahoney. I had vegan landlords that only composted. I had to throw away my meat scraps and trash away at work.
No.
Really?
Man. Like, I don't, like, here's the thing. I get having rules for staying in a place, but like, if you're going to try to make me compost because your dumb lifestyle, I'm not trying to save the extra $50 a month on rent. Like, there's no way I would jump through those kind of
hoops. Can you also just imagine being the chick who's bringing her trash to work to throw away?
You bring old chicken with you in your car to throw in the trash.
Chicken carcass.
And then everyone's like, why does that girl keep bringing old meat and throwing it in the garbage? Ugh. Rada said, late 80s, downtown Seattle in what is now a very trendy and very expensive area called Belton. Family of five in a two-bedroom, one-bathroom, cockroach-infested apartment in a druggie-infested building. In the 2 years we lived there, we had to get up and flee the apartment in the middle of the night about six times, thanks to said druggies falling asleep with lit cigarettes and burning their couches or beds. Thank God for working smoke alarms. It did have a killer view of the Puget Sound and the Olympic Mountains on the side, Mount Rainier on the other, but when you're 13 and then you wake up with a cockroach crawling on your face, you don't care so much about the views.
No way.
Ugh.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
You know, when you're younger, you don't mind it so much when you live in a nasty place. When you're older and you know better, then you definitely, it bothers you. Like, if anything's off from your normal environment, right?
You ever live in a house with roaches?
Oh yeah, yeah. The same house with the you know, leaking
all the trash
kegerator and all the frat bros.
Like we had
pretty
so
cockroachy.
Growing up in Missouri, you know, with all the water and all the rain and you know the just there was just dirt everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like 1 year that I remember, and I think I was like 15 or something like that, and we're like our basement got invaded by roaches, and that was like right when I made the move down to the basement to like finally get my own thing. And we had those lowered panelings on the in the basement, like the it was like styrofoam, and then that was held up and like for whatever lowered the roof, and then you could hear the
ew.
Oh my god, it was, and like we didn't really know about bug guys and stuff back then, so it's like we just like put out traps, laid right, you know, didn't know that like, oh, we should just call a professional in. But it took like 2 months to get rid of it, and those were like the two most horrifying months, because like I would have like a girl come over, and then you're like hoping like a big ass roach doesn't run across the room.
Are you tickling me there, honey? Don't do that. No, so you actually just tapped something out of my subconscious. I had no idea. I forgot about this. I lived in an apartment back in college, and our AC went out, so they put in one of those window units. Well, it was in the middle of the summer. Like, they had those, like, the water bugs, like the stink bugs. You know what I'm talking about? Or leaf bugs.
For those that don't know, you went to University of Kentucky.
Yeah, I went to University of Kentucky. Yeah. So, and our apartment faced right back on, like, woods, essentially.
Yeah.
So, they put in this AC unit, and we turned it off for a day because they thought that they had fixed the AC. They just didn't come get the unit. Well, it didn't work. As soon as we turned on that AC unit again, they started flying out from the AC unit. like getting chopped up into bits and spewing all throughout. It took us about a month to stop finding those bugs in our house. We had a raccoon that lived in the walls there as well.
It's funny that you guys say that because I've got one here from our Facebook, Elena, at Dave Mahoney on Facebook. She said, I was living with my baby daddy. I was 17 years old and I got kicked out, so I had to live with him. And the family was just the filthiest slobs on the planet. There were 10 of us living there, and they didn't pay for trash service. It just piled up in the garage.
The entire house
was infested with huge roaches. And at night, you could hear the rats and mice scratching through the walls. I was so young, stupid, and desperate.
Oh, honey.
I mean, the good news is, should be all up from there, right?
Yeah. It should be.
That's the good thing about hitting rock bottom. The only place to go is up.
And then you discover there's a basement.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
Ian, you said you lived in a house when you were in Chicago that was so old, it was before they had doors.
Yes. 1821 West Armitage. When it got knocked down, we called it the Fall of 1821. The house was... It looked like a haunted house. It looked like a witch lived there. It was very dark brown. It had baby blue, like, shutters that were, like, half on. And the place was a complete and total mess. You guys were talking about how frat houses are messy.
Yeah.
I don't think you ever spent time in a punk house. Now, that's if squatters come through, you know.
A lot of drug use, I assume, right?
Lots of drug use, unfortunately. And the carpets were completely brown. Also, long story.
Did they come that way?
When we got in there, but again, the house was there for so long, we assumed they were white. The linoleum had holes in it, mold everywhere, to a point where we stopped paying the rent.
I'm just trying to get a mental image here. Is this kind of like the house from Fight Club?
Very much, actually. Very much like that house.
Okay, right.
Very, very dirty. Rats everywhere because Chicago had a rat problem at the time. They still do. But we stopped paying rent on the place because we found out there was mold there. And the landlord just stopped caring.
That's why you stopped paying rent.
So we just squatted there.
There was mold. We're not paying rent.
For how long did you squat there?
I squatted there for probably about 6 months. My roommates actually wound up squatting there for about 2 years until they knocked it down.
Wow.
And I got stuck with the gas bill because he illegally turned the gas on and opened up the account in my name. So,
How much was that?
About $5,000.
No!
What?
Yep. So I think I still have that on my... credit report. I'm going to have to check.
In 7 years, it'll roll off.
Yeah, okay. It'll be fine.
Time.
Oh, does it?
So it's funny when we talk about roommates because that actually brings me back to that same frat house that I was talking about earlier. My former roommate, Chad, he drank a little bit more than he should, maybe did a few more drugs than he should and everything else. Chad got to the point where he was fairly depressed because he dated this girl for a very long time, like 3 or 4 years when they were in high school and then coming to college, which when you date somebody for 3 or 4 years at that time in life, that's like I'm marrying this person.
Yeah.
Right? Well, they ended up breaking up for a relatively short stint. And then she ended up hooking up with our other roommate. So there's three of us that lived in the house. She lived right next door. And Jonathan, the third roommate, his room was in the back of the house. Chad, his room was in the center of the house. And my room was in the front of the house. So Chad's room was in between. And I could very clearly hear Jonathan and Julie just going to town. And so Chad's room was in between. They shared a wall.
Dude.
And so Chad again started drinking way too much and everything else.
Shame on that friend for bringing that chick to the house.
Going back there too.
The houses were literally next door to each other. They were literally next door. But instead of like just going over to her house to bang it out, they would do it at our house.
At the dirty house. What are you doing?
No, bad friends. Well, bad.
We had a kegerator, to be fair. We did have a kegerator. But Chad had, I kid you not, about 8 inches of clothes on his bedroom floor.
Oh, yeah.
And that wasn't the bad part. When he finally eventually moved out and we helped him move out, we discovered that he had vomited a few times on the floor of his bedroom and just not bothered to clean it up.
Did he even see it past all the clothes?
I think he had just kind of given up at that point.
So,
honey.
That reminds me. My wife and I, we've lived together for a while now, and when we built the new house that we've lived in for, you know, like 7-8 years now, we were cleaning out I had a house with two other guys, you know, and it was a nice house. It was a friend bought the house right before the recession in 2008, and we had all lived there, and it was good. But one night, or actually as we were cleaning out my closet to move everything over to the new house, we were going through kind of like, there's like a pile of clothes in the back of the closet that, you know, just never really got touched. Turns out, we found a shirt that I had vomited on about 4 years prior when we had first started dating.
Yeah.
See you next Olympics.
Did you not smell it, Mahoney?
See you next Olympics.
Oh, my God. yeah, so she, I thought she, I was almost positive that we were not going to move in together when I saw the disgust on her face after finding that shirt.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if any
as
woman.
Man.
That's a strong
as
woman.
Mackenzie on her Facebook at Dave Mahoney said, we rented a house from a disgusting guy. He used human poop for fertilizer on the front lawn. There were termites and spiders in the house, a beehive in the apple tree. We had to wash our hands and brush our teeth in the tub because the pipe under the bathroom sink stopped at the wall. Also, the oven didn't work, so everything had to be on the stove top or barbecue, and as Ian can attest, barbecue season rather limited in Illinois.
I mean, I thought that this one was bad up on our socials at Vegas Jen, that her mother-in-law lived behind her with a key, but that one takes the cake. Like, I don't think anything
mother-in-law
can...
living behind you with a key is pretty bad.
I don't know. Human feces as fertilizer is pretty terrible.
I don't know. I mean, mother-in-law with a key, I mean, if you're gonna pick up packages for me.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't want the porch pirates, man. That's all I'm thinking about.
And finally, Robert said, rented a house with an afterthought finished basement, including a bathroom. The plumbing wasn't right, along with a tree root growing through, blocking the sewer pipe. If you've ever experienced that before, one of the issues was the bathtub on the main floor would back up with human poop regularly.
Oh, no!
And the backyard would also flood with the same. No. I'll never forget you, New Mexico.
Every weekday morning from 6 to 10, the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I used to think that I was the Leonardo of the Ninja Turtles in my friends group. You know, I was like the leader type who was like decisive and loyal to all parties and, you know, just kind of impartial leader. But as I've gotten older, I realize like I'm way more of a Raphael.
Message deleted.
How would you characterize Raphael's character? Because
he's an a-hole.
Kind of, right? Yeah. I mean, Michelangelo was always the fun party dude. Like, he was always the one that was down.
I mean, that was in the theme song.
He's a party dude. Yeah.
Leonardo
was definitely
the leader.
Yeah. And then Donatello was just the guy with the stick.
Which one would you guys think you are?
I mean, I always identified at the time as Michelangelo, but as I've gotten older, you said Raphael's an a-hole? Probably that. Yeah.
I feel like...
I feel like you're the leader guy, the pizza man. The pizza turtle.
All right, so I'm Leonardo. He's Michelangelo. Does that make you the a-hole or Ian's the a-hole and then you're the guy with the stick?
No, I'm the guy with the stick.
Ian's the guy.
I'm the guy with the stick.
No,
Ian's the guy with the
stick. I identify as the body that housed Krang, if you remember the little brain.
The little brain that walked around?
Yeah. But I'm not the brain. I'm just the fat body that he... Like, you could pick any body. Why would you pick a guy who looks like me to host you?
Can I just be the girl reporter?
April O'Neil.
Yeah, can I just be her?
Sure.
She's a babe.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, she's a babe.
We have her cast.
I would say if I had
she was down to, I think, as well, man. She had that attitude about her.
Well, she was always filming stuff.
Yeah.
They're my dream thruple right there.
Please leave a message after the tone.
If you could dye your hair any color or any pattern of colors, what would you go with? Do you think it would be a good look?
Message deleted.
I've had pink hair before. Ian, you've done a couple colors, actually,
blue
during
recently,
quarantine.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like regular hair color now.
But the bleach, I think, looked great on you.
Did you feel like you were being judged out in public with your odd hair colors?
Then I started getting a lot of Eminem references, which I didn't like, as if he's the only one who's ever bleached his hair.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying that the whole Slim Shady thing, after all of these years, is still a thing. Can I just bleach my hair and not be called Eminem?
He doesn't even bleach his hair anymore.
I know.
Brown hair now.
I mean, he hasn't done it for like 25 years.
He's Marshall Mathers now.
Which, no, you're not. Yeah. You're Eminem. Come on.
But it's funny how he has all those alter egos where it's like his brown hair is Marshall and Slim Shady is the bleach. But yeah, I guess I kind of get that though, Ian, for the bleaching references. But I will say you look good with the bleach.
I am never going to dye my hair. I'm never going to dye my facial hair. I'm never going to dye my hair. If I go gray, I go gray. If my beard goes gray, it goes gray.
But that's not shocking.
I'm not going just for men. Like, that's just, it just doesn't look right. Like, there's nothing worse than that shiny black hair that you see guys on the news trying to desperately cling to. You're like,
hey man,
your hair is got a sheen to it. Like, stop.
But they're putting in the effort though.
But at least, I mean, if you're on the news, like having gray hair, like it kind of gives you some street cred,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like you've seen
you're
some
wise.
Stuff. Yeah.
The silver
yeah.
fox has seen yeah. some things.
Bouncing back to the Ninja Turtle thing, Courtney, who's watching the live stream today over on Facebook, facebook.com/Dave Mahoney, said that I look like the Ninja Wizard, which I assume she means.
Splinter?
Oh, she said rat wizard. Excuse me.
So, yeah, Splinter, Master yeah. Splinter.
Splinter wasn't a wizard.
You don't call him a rat wizard.
What are you talking about? They were mutated. The Ninja Turtles was a story about environmental pollution and the horrible ramifications that could come from it.
And then the rat wizard really? Came and saved the world.
Ta-da.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So what character do you think you would be in a story? Protagonist, villain, sidekick, love interest?
Message deleted.
Ooh, that's a
None.
Great question.
Not written yeah. in.
No,
guy
you,
in the crowd.
You're the antagonist.
You're the, no, the antagonist not, sidekick.
I'm,
yeah.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Yeah.
You're the curmudgeon yeah. in the story no, that no, everybody
I'm,
is like, oh, this,
I'm in my own
this
story.
Guy's back.
I'm not in your story. Get out of here.
I'm definitely the hero that nobody asked for, and Audrey... You're the rat wizard.
Listen to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show and watch it too at twitch.tv/Dave and Mahoney.
Glitz, glamour, fame, scandal, weight loss tea? It's Pop Trash!
So this is actually pretty cool. I mean, considering shows that you're nostalgic about, I mean, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air has got to be up there for
I loved Fresh
most
Prince.
People that grew up in
week.
The 90s and yep. even the early 2000s maybe, but... Fresh Prince, the mansion is going to be listed for 5 nights on Airbnb, and Will Smith is doing this in partnership with the house's owners. He's actually listing it on Airbnb, which coincides with the 30th anniversary of the sitcom. Says the guests who book 1 of 5 available nights at the freshest Los Angeles mansion around will get to spend the night in a wing of the home that has been decorated in the distinctive style of his character from The Fresh Prince
yeah,
of Bel-Air, which
they,
is pretty awesome.
They didn't actually film it in the house. It was a
of
set.
Of course not.
Yeah, it was a set.
He said, my wing of the mansion includes a bedroom, great for naps, a full bathroom, great for spitting bars in the shower, a pool area, great for dips, an outdoor lounge, and the dining room, great for eating, obviously. He said, all meals being provided for guests and served on a silver platter. Mansion is being listed for $30 a night for 5 nights, October 2nd, 5th, 8th, 11th, and 14th. A one-off to promote The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the 30th anniversary. It's going to be streaming as well on HBO Max platform. So pretty cool promotional idea.
Yeah, I mean, but nobody's going to get it. You know, it's like, oh, it's $30 a night. But yeah then.
It's already gone.
Yeah.
It's already gone.
Somebody's already got that. Is Jeffrey going to be there? Do I get to throw Jazz out of the house? That's what I want to do. Which so, also, can we talk about DJ Jazzy Jeff? How
he
had
great.
How he had a massive glow up?
Well, because he's got some weight on him. He looks like strong. Like he's
he
like
looks
good.
Everybody on that show, RIP James Avery, who was also the voice of Shredder. If you did not know that on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie.
Nice circle back there, yeah.
Or right. cartoon, yeah. Yeah. excuse me. But everybody on that show looks so amazing.
Everybody.
Like, Alfonso Rivera has abs. You know, Will Smith, obviously.
Is, abs.
Yeah, abs all over the place.
Tatiana
man.
Ali.
Abs.
She's, oh, I mean, Aunt Viv. Oh, man.
Abs.
Like, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, she looked good.
And the actress who played Hillary looks just like Aunt Viv did like yep. 30 years ago. I love that show. I don't know how I feel about the serious reboot, though. I'm like,
I don't like
yes,
it, honestly.
I feel like you have those serious moments because those there were a lot of serious episodes of The Fresh
it's
Prince.
A young man coming of age.
Well, the dad episode. One of the saddest episodes.
No, the like where they went to college and then like they start going after Carlton. Oh. You know, like all there's so many good episodes on that show, and I feel like important life lessons learned. So making it like all serious, I don't know how I feel. I don't know. I'll give it a shot, though.
So when I first heard about this collaboration between McDonald's and Travis Scott, I was like, I mean, I obviously understand
Dude, that's huge.
How popular Travis Scott is, but McDonald's doesn't normally do collaborations never, with celebrities,
the
right?
The only thing that they've done that's even similar to this, like kind of in the pop culture vein, is that they brought Szechuan sauce back for Rick and Morty a couple seasons ago. And Travis Scott, I mean, like his collabs that he does with Nike, the Jordans, like those are the most sought after shoes on the planet for the most part when those get released. So him partnering with McDonald's, even though, you know, some people don't love McDonald's, it's one of the biggest brands in the world. And this is huge for him.
Thanks to Kris Jenner.
I mean, partially, right? Like, because he was all tied in. Was it Kylie or Kendall that he was?
Kylie.
Kylie, okay.
They have a child together.
Yeah, that's right. But they're releasing all kinds of merchandise, including a $250 floor rug with the vintage McDonald's menu printed on it, a $30 lunch tray, a $45 lunch box, a $78 blanket, 10 for $25 plastic cups, a $65 6-foot-tall cardboard cutout of Travis Scott as an action figure. But the coolest thing, without question, is a 36-inch McNugget body pillow for $90.
I feel like you should have done that whole thing with auto-tune.
Yeah. $90 body pillow.
So,
it's actually pretty cool, the vintage
stuff. If McDonald's offered me a Mahoney meal, I would jump on that in a heartbeat.
It would just be a bunch of chicken nugget men?
No, I mean, it'd be similar to what he did, because he did a quarter pounder with cheese, with lettuce, tomato, and bacon, and then fries with barbecue sauce, and then a Sprite with ice straight up.
Sounds pretty good.
But I would go Coke.
Sounds pretty good.
You can never beat an ice cold Coke. For some reason, Coke at McDonald's.
Yeah, they have their own formula.
Tastes better than everywhere else.
They have their own formula. Coke?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I've heard that too. I've never confirmed that, but I've heard that.
It's facts.
And this is interesting. Godfather is going to do a series on CBS All Access. It's getting renamed from CBS All Access to Paramount Plus. Mm-hmm. But they're rolling out a new Godfather series, which, I mean, I'm a big fan of gangster stuff. I think I'll give it a watch, depending on who's going to star in it and, you know, when
just
it gets released.
Watch the first two movies.
Dude, those have been out for like 40
years. Skip the third
years.
One, like, and then rewatch The Sopranos and The Wire and call it a day, because nothing's going to be better than that.
No, but it doesn't have to be better than that if it's just a good gangster series.
But do you remember The Godfather 3?
Yeah.
Do you remember The Godfather 3?
Yes.
Have you seen Al Pacino and stuff lately?
No, I don't want Al Pacino back in it. They don't need to...
coming in.
Al Pacino.
And Marlon Brando's been dead for a long time.
And Robert De Niro. Like, those guys were great. But, like, this whole, like, we're still putting them in movies directed by Martin Scorsese and making them look younger digitally. I'm like, do we really need that?
Yeah, we're good with The Irishman. That's it.
That was a good movie.
Was it?
3 hours long.
I didn't watch it.
I liked it.
There's no ending to it. There's just like,
Jimmy
Hoffa is still buried in a parking lot somewhere.
Yeah,
I don't know. I also feel like if you're having to change the name of your network like every like other year, that's probably not a good sign
probably
either.
A great sign.
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show present the Missed Connection Inspection.
Mahoney, you and I took a solemn oath many years ago that we would do our part for the community. And we would help to spread love, regardless of what the toll was on our personal selves. I'm kidding. No, they asked us if we would work for $26,000 a year, and we said yes. But the Missed Connection Inspection is a public service, and it is our job to make sure that we are doing everything we can to help people make the connection that could change their life.
Dave, I think there is a presumption out there, or, you know, that people are...
Presumption?
A presumption.
Okay.
That's what I said.
Right. Is it?
That people on the internet are weird, or that they don't deserve love. And especially if they're searching for love on Craigslist or other weird back pages like services and sites. But we here at the Dave Mahoney Morning Show think these people deserve to find love, and we want to help them fly their freak flag.
This first one is entitled Camera Guy Needs You. I shot your band recording last month, and I think we had a connection. I'd love to meet up and shoot you on camera again if possible. Hit me up, beautiful. You had an amazing smile and gave a new meaning to rock chick. You are amazing.
Oh.
I mean, can't you just like find her your band's Instagram page?
Yeah, I mean,
here,
you know the name of the band, right? You invoice them, I assume?
Yeah. Is that, I feel like that was very 90s hot, like, oh, let me photograph you. Does that lend
to
being creepy?
Yeah, no, that was before people had, you know, cameras. And they just wanted to be photographed.
Me follow you around and keep pictures on your phone. Like we were talking about this. Just be an influencer photographer and you were going to meet all the hot people.
Yeah, or grow a sunflower field in Wisconsin, and then you'll also, they'll flock to you. This one's entitled Paramedic Driver. You were driving an ambulance and very good looking. Thanks for the eye candy on the long drive. We passed each other a few times, and I think you had a secret side. Let's grab a drink, my treat. This is dude for dude, right?
Very dude for dude.
Oh, so secret side. Secret side, yeah. On the DL.
Although, if you're going to get it on, an ambulance is a pretty good place to get it on.
Ample room in the back.
And then you have a stretcher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of performance-enhancing things around there.
Give me some oxygen, you know?
Just make sure you, when you, blood, you ask for a paddle, you're specific about which kind.
Clear.
That is.
This one is Alex or Alexis. A guy I used to talk to named Alex or Alexis. I used to call him Mumbles. We used to hang out in the back of 2012, which is a strange way of putting it. But I lost your number and would like to contact you again. Hopefully you see this.
So 8-plus years ago, yep. You're reminiscing.
About someone whose name you don't remember.
Do you think,
call him Mumbles,
during these weird times that we're living in right now, that there are more people who are reminiscing about Love's Lost and, their amorous, past.
I do have a couple here that are definitely about Love Lost. This one's strange, though, because I can't tell if there's code in here or not. It's entitled Dana Joe. It's been almost 8 years. It's been almost 8 years since I pulled out of your driveway with a loaded U-Haul and made my way back to the East Coast. Just wanted to let you know I fulfilled one of my teenage dreams of kayaking the Delaware River.
Not code, Dave. Literally okay. Kayaking the Delaware River.
Are we sure that's not positive, like party and play?
I did some research on this. The Delaware River, no, just the Delaware River.
Up next is another dream I've had since I was about 6 years old. I had my house up for sale for a little over a year now. Finally, I have a buyer under contract. At the end of this September, I'll be going to Florida to take delivery of my new home. My new home is a 46-foot sailing catamaran.
Hell yeah.
Take care and look me up. Fair winds and following seas, Captain Tom.
This guy wasn't so weird. His life sounds pretty dope.
I know, like, right?
Like, it's a cool dude. Get off Craigslist. Like, go.
Dana Joe, get on that. What are you doing,
Dana? If
you
got a boat, Dana Joe,
you got
a 46-foot catamaran. Get out of here.
Kayaks.
I'll hook up with you, Captain Tom.
Heck yeah.
I know this is gonna sound judgmental, but anytime like somebody's like middle name is Joe as like a woman, yeah. I always just assume they're from like Alabama.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. I know always. A few. I know a few Nancy Joes.
Yeah.
Billy Joe Armstrong.
Billy Joe.
No, I'm women. Okay.
She's from Alabama.
Also know Billy Joe.
This one is a different kind of reminiscing. My Uber rider. She was kind of drunk, LOL. Boy, this is creepy.
Oh,
I returned your pack of cigs. You still owe me that LOL.
They wrote out
No, it's just two letters. The first one's B and the second one's after H and I. okay. Two more here. This one is friendly driver. I was out for a walk near college when it started pouring rain, and you let me get in your car to wait it out. One thing led to another. It's not raining today, but I could still run into you there. You still have that cell phone video you took? Tell me something you remember about me. In parentheses, a guy.
Just for clarification.
I mean, how bold do you have to be to pull out your cell phone camera?
Yeah.
On a first interaction while it's raining, sitting in a parking lot in front of a college.
No kidding.
But I like the moxie on that guy, right?
And the final one here is entitled Little Deb. You were friends with the guys across the hall from me. We went out one night and had too much to drink. We went to my room and fooled around a little bit. I went back to being a shy nerd. We spoke on the phone sometime after. Let me know either the name of the guys across the hall or the place they lived. This is Brian.
Brian,
it was right there, man.
Yeah.
Right there.
I envision him typing this out
very
monotone.
Are we
sure
this is a woman and not like a Star Crunch if her name's Little Deb?
Dear Oatmeal Cream Pie.
It's Top Stories! Here's what's making news.
So who's the most adventurous out of the four of us on this show?
Ian.
Like in what,
Ian?
In what regard?
Just willing to try anything anytime.
Ian.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I thought if you were going to talk about food, I would say me. But,
it's,
is that considered adventurous, though?
Really adventurous.
That's my kind of adventure.
Hungry. So there's airlines that are now offering flights to nowhere. Singapore Airlines is said to be introducing and considering a new route next month, and it's called a flight to nowhere. Flights take off and land from the same place, in this case, Singapore Airport, and they may start as early as next month. So you just basically get on a flight and then land at the same airport. I just don't get
What's the point? I mean, like, so I've done a kind of a flight to nowhere before, when we were living down in Houston, I was traveling back and forth between Houston and Las Vegas a lot because my wife had stayed here. And so we had gotten, like, it was the end of the year. It was near December. And I was like one flight away from hitting A status on Southwest. So I just took a flight to Dallas and immediately got on another flight and flew back to Houston.
I've had a number of friends do that because they're like a flight away from hitting that whatever tier is where they'll get on a plane. And they're like, hey, I'm coming to visit you, but I'm only going to be there for 2 hours. Do you want to go grab drinks? And then I have to get back on the flight and go back to L.A.
People do that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're one flight away and you get a whole year's worth of...
It gives me A class for an entire year for... And the flight was $50. So I was like, sure.
Why not?
And I drank on it.
Of course you did. Yeah, man, I miss booze on planes. What's the point anymore?
Aston Martin has built a $74,000 racing simulator. It's basically for gamers if you want to be at your house and play video games where you're driving. But it costs as much to use Aston Martin. Yeah, I mean, it's $74,000.
Yeah. This is dumb.
Yeah.
Is it dumb? That's shocking coming from you, Mahoney. I thought that you would have liked it.
No, because I can play Forza or whatever on a PS4 for $400. Call it a day. I don't know. $70,000 is a lot. Like, I love video games. I'll love video games $75,000 much.
Sell your bourbon for it.
No. I'm going to drink that bourbon.
That's not a good trade.
So we've heard about Abraham Lincoln's hair being auctioned off. We heard about that 103-carat diamond being auctioned off. Well, what about some classic hip-hop legacy? So they're saying that they're putting a number of things up for auction, including flyers announcing certain concerts from the late 70s and early 80s. Headlined by the likes of Grandmaster Flash and the Funky Four MCs, once coveted jackets bearing the logo of Def Jam Records, a diamond eye patch once worn by the legendary MC Slick Rick.
Oh, cool. Slick Rick.
Slick Rick's eye patch. Look awesome, out, right?
He's got a story to tell. Yeah. He's got a story to tell.
So I'd buy that just to have something fun in the bedroom. Yar har.
Wait, what?
What?
Yeah, we're talking about weird
pirate cosplay.
Yeah. Hey, we're running out of options here. We've been at home for a long time.
If Audrey comes in with a peg leg, I'm out.
Oh, that's not a wooden leg.
Lazy Bones Mahomes.
Do I have to?
So these are all real things that Mahoney has done in his private life. His wife is kind enough to share some of the behind-the-scenes moments, and everyone can play along here. So if you want to text us or you want to call us at 833-YO-DUMMY, you're welcome to. If you just want to listen along, that's fine. But Audrey and Ian, both of you are tasked with all the people that are watching along today in the chat, twitch.tv/David Mahoney, also on Facebook, trying to figure out which one of these is not true. Only one of them is a fib, okay?
Don't be mad at me because I found a way to live my life to the easiest. It's all about efficiency, Dave.
To the easiest.
As a young man.
Including that sentence.
When I was traveling
to the
Flemish region of Belgium and I was in Antwerp selling diamonds, a man told me to work smarter, not harder. And since that day, I have taken that advice to heart.
You've never been to Belgium.
Uh-huh. And you probably just found out about Antwerp last night.
Man, I know all about it. I know all about Antwerp.
All right, so fact number one about Mahoney. Mahoney has lofty goals of making 2020 a skinny year, but he has been hitting the Postmates Grubhub button daily. Recently, he had two pizzas delivered and ate about half of each. He put the leftover pizza in the oven and turned the heat on low and left it on. When I finally realized the oven was still on, the next morning...
With the box?
He replied, I'm just trying to keep it warm, baby. Nobody likes cold pizza.
First off, I got two pizzas.
Mm-hmm.
Half of one of those was for her, and it was a thin pizza. Put olives on it, and I put it in the oven, and I set the oven to the absolute lowest temperature, which I think is like 110 degrees. And yes, I may have forgotten to take it out of there, but it was still warm in the morning.
Just because you put something on low heat does not make cardboard less flammable.
I got a fire extinguisher.
On to number two.
Oh my!
You've never stuck a pizza box in the oven when it's like with 110 degrees in there?
I feel you, brother. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's fine.
You worked in pizza.
It's fine.
Is that fine?
It's not going to catch on fire at 110.
Exactly. Yeah, worst part was the fact that she had olives on it.
That's not
me. It was Old World pepperoni because I didn't order from Marco's.
Copper said he thinks that one is true. Here we go on to number two. Totally. Like most people, weekends are typically a time for me to catch up on duties around the house, like laundry, dishes, and more. These duties include doing Mahoney's laundry and dishes, despite the fact that he has many more hours at home in a day than I do. Happy to do it, though, as I know that it'll be done correctly. Recently, I added washing Mahoney's Tommy Bahama shirts to my to-do list, as we learned that dry cleaning does not remove the armpit funk from his fine silk shirts.
That's true. You need to use Woolite.
While I had a load air drying on the couches, I got on the Peloton. Before I started my fifth load, Mahoney came into the room and said, "What are you doing, baby? You're supposed to be washing my shirts."
That's so true.
Yeah, that one's definitely
the
true.
The only thing that makes me, and Ian, I don't know if you feel like this, I feel like it took more than five loads. Like, I feel like before, you know what I mean? Like, five sounds a lot, but I feel like if he's having to rewash all of them, there's more than five loads.
Well, she didn't say that was her fifth and final load.
She did say it was just her fifth load. Yeah, so. Tosh said that's the one, so she does not think that one is true. Here we go on to number three. The transition game back to the studio has caused Mahoney to buy even more cameras and lights so the show can look its very best for their new live stream, twitch.tv/Dave Mahoney. The newest set of lights were delivered yesterday. I noticed a big box on the front doorstep when I got home. I came inside after being at work for 12 solid hours and let Mahoney know that his lights were here. He said, "Baby, I don't got a shirt on. Can you bring them in?" So I wrestled a giant box into the house in my dress and heels because Mahoney did not want to put on a shirt.
I would get arrested if I went outside shirtless.
I agree with that one. I think that one is very true, and he was right in that.
And the reason I was shirtless is because she, on the Nest app that we have for our house, can control the temperature. She turned it up to 82.
You know that you can just stand up and also adjust it.
No, I know, but she continues to go back and change it.
That's so mean.
That is so mean.
So mean.
That's really mean.
She just lets you sweat.
I was hot, and I'm sitting next to a computer, and it's hot, so I was topless.
Maybe she was just trying to get you to come out of the computer room.
Mm-hmm. Trying to get you out of the
office. No, she wasn't even at home when this was going on.
Move those lazy bones.
Bobby said number one is false. Mahoney doesn't leave leftovers. Llama thinks number three is fake. Copper said I'm leaning towards number two being false unless they are all true again. All right, here we go. Audrey, what is your guess?
Oh, this is so hard. I'm going to go with number one totally being true because I can just see you doing this. And God, I just can't even believe you put a pizza box in the oven. But I'm going to go with three being fake, specifically because I think you are wearing a shirt and I don't think you were shirtless. I feel like you still made the complaint, but you had a shirt on.
I was also pantless, too, at the time.
Audrey says number three is fake.
No, I was wearing the Duluth Trading Company Armachillo boxers, the greatest boxers to ever grace.
And your slides.
Yeah.
Ian, over to you.
Number one is definitely fake. I know Mahoney is a little wonky sometimes when it comes to his deliveries. I don't believe he's going to order two pizzas and eat half of both of them in one sitting. So I think he only ordered one pizza, put it in the oven, still left it on. But that little detail makes it false.
One of you is correct. One of you is incorrect. And Ian, you are correct.
Was my scenario correct?
She said it is number one. He left the pizza on the counter most of the day, and I put it in the fridge. I would have noticed the oven being on because I'm not even sure that Mahoney knows how to work the oven.
It's people whose lifetime goal is to own a fireworks stand. It's the Redneck Report.
So this is one of the weirdest heists that you'll probably ever hear of. And we hear a lot of strange heists and robberies, things stolen in the Redneck Report. But this one's up there. Somebody stole, in Alberta, Canada, $230,000 worth of beef and seven hot tubs.
Seven hot tubs.
Which, hell yes. Whoever did this heist, I want to party with you. That sounds like a great time.
You know they are hosting a swingers party at
their
house.
For sure.
You got $200,000 worth of beef and seven above ground hot tubs.
Getting some foot massages while you're there as well.
Yeah, look out. So they say a fake name was used in it. They were supposed to be transporting this meat and the hot tubs, and they just basically tricked these trucking and transfer companies into acting like they were the person that was supposed to be intercepting and delivering them. And then, yeah, suspect is a tall white guy with a heavy build, short brown hair, slightly balding. Again, the exact sort of guy that would throw an above ground.
I love that they added that in.
They're never going to find this guy.
Yeah. He was wearing, hold on, let's see if this helps, blue jeans, a black t-shirt, and a yellow fluorescent vest, along with a mask, a surgical mask. So just exactly what any person that's working for any company would be wearing.
Oh, he's never going to get caught.
Never going to find this guy.
Congratulations on your well,
did he pull off the perfect heist?
The perfect crime. was $230,000 worth of beef in 7 hot tubs. Who knew?
Was it live beef or was it, it had to be like...
No, like, it was already butchered, right? Like it wasn't... Yeah, no. It'd be weird if it was like...
Freezer.
Whoa, that'd be even weirder if it was cows and hot tubs.
47 trucks worth of cows and hot tubs.
Oh, no.
I feel like the only way he's going to get caught is on the resale.
Yeah, yeah. If you, I mean, that's why you had just have to hunker down and just party all day, every day.
So many steaks.
So a tropical smoothie customer gets shot in the face at a Florida store while complaining about slow service. This is a weird one. So a 39-year-old was at a tropical smoothie complaining about how long it was taking to get his order at 3:30. While complaining, a masked gunman walked in, shot him in the face, and then took off.
Shot the complainer.
Yes.
Well,
was this like an employee that like circled out back and just like came back in the front right. and then left?
They say he's going to be okay, but
yeah, serious condition expected to recover.
He'll be okay, but he does kind of have a point. If they were a little bit faster, he probably wouldn't have got shot in the face.
Maybe he knew. Maybe he's the Oracle, and he's like, if you just give me my order, I can get out of here.
Like your not kale get shot smoothie, in the face, buddy. Yeah. Doesn't yeah, not worth getting shot in the face over.
I just love this story because of the guy's name, Gene Sweetapple, 65 years old. Is accused of trying to steal a trolley while the driver was on break in Lee County, Florida. The trolley was parked on Summerlin Square Drive. A witness came in, put his bike onto the trolley, noticed the driver didn't look like a typical driver, and so he went into the office. He's like, hey, is that the driver on the trolley? And the driver came outside and told Sweetapple to get out of the trolley, called 911. 911 dispatcher told the driver to ask Sweetapple if he had a weapon. He told the driver he had a pocket knife. This is a strange exchange. Everything about this is just odd. So he tells him that he has a pocket knife, and the driver was able to get to the side of the trolley, the driver's side window, before putting his hand inside and enabling the emergency shutdown of the trolley engine. A deputy quickly arrived and asked Sweetapple to get off the trolley multiple times. He responded saying, I'm going to drive this bus, and then say please when demanding that he get off. The deputy eventually got him off the trolley. He's now facing charges of vehicle theft and resisting arrest.
But you're there. You're the driver. You left the keys in the trolley when you went to go pick up your hoagie?
Who steals a trolley? That seems like a really obvious...
Who steals meat and trolleys and...
Do you think he was going to meet up with the guy with all the hot tubs and the meat?
How else do you transport them?
Oh, if you had a party trolley that could ferry people back and forth to your meat hot tub party?
No, you got to put a hot tub on that trolley.
Oh, yeah. Get a little barbecue grill on that thing that hangs off the back. You know what I'm talking about.
Party.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I know you guys love Nicolas Cage. Have any of you seen Frozen Ground on Netflix? I thought it was pretty good.
Message deleted.
So Nicolas Cage puts out so many movies that it's hard to keep up, or at least he was on a tear there for a while. Ian, can you give us the rating? Do we know how well Frozen Ground on Netflix is rated as far as
61% fresh?
Not
on
bad. I actually watched it the other night because I believe this is newer to Netflix within the last couple of weeks, and it's very interesting to see Nicolas Cage as a police officer trying to find John Cusack, who's a serial killer.
You would have thought it would be flip-flops.
Exactly.
Now, is he like a cop on the beat? Is he like a detective that's working the beat? Or is he more of like a traffic cop that just happens to...
He's more of a small-town cop that just happens upon this crime, and he's the only one that's there to do anything about it.
Whoa. I might have to tune in.
How does he look? Because Nicolas Cage has gone through various states of,
dishevelment.
Yeah,
very weatherman-esque, if I can throw it back to that era of Nick Cage.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll have to tune into that, I guess.
Probably not, though. If we're being real.
Can we just get a National Treasure 3?
Please. Yeah, right?
Please. Just give us a National Treasure 3.
Like, is
I've got to find the Declaration of Independence.
Or a Face-Off 2. That's what we need. National Treasure 3, Face-Off 2.
Yeah, is there a holdout for National Treasure 3? Like, it seems like
bidding war for that script
right
now.
Nicholas is clearly available.
He's making literally every other bad movie on the planet.
Right.
Get this man. Help him find some other national monument. Like, help him find George Washington's,
nose on the monument.
Somebody stole Congress.
The entire Congress.
You hear the first couple of seconds, like the classic bass line at the beginning. You start tapping your foot.
But in your head, what song are you hoping it is? Ice Ice Baby or Under Pressure? And this question helps you learn a lot about people.
Message deleted.
Under Pressure, always.
I mean, Under Pressure is definitely the better song, but I ain't mad if it's Ice Ice Baby.
I was going to say.
Who are we kidding? Yeah,
Ice Ice Baby. Boom, boom, boom.
I was really disappointed when I figured out in life that Vanilla Ice had just stolen that. Like, I thought that was his song.
No, Dave, he says it's clearly different.
It's clearly different. Yeah, okay, sure it is.
Sure, sure.
Just pay your royalties like everybody else, and it'll be fine.
Please leave a message after the tone.
What is your current cell phone wallpaper? What made you choose that one?
Message deleted.
Well, mine is Eminem, Slim Shady, Christina Aguilera, NSYNC, and Britney Spears.
Your wallpaper?
Yes.
Your phone wallpaper?
Yes. All in Polaroids.
Or are those the posters in your bedroom?
They are all based off of the posters.
I feel
from like that 17
screen,
magazines
I feel
back
like
in the day.
Phone screen is the new bedroom poster. For me, it's just a picture. It's a picture of my wife and I and Captain Mickey right before we get on a Disney cruise.
You really do have all the posters. Like, that's kind of
yeah.
Ian, what's yours? Mine's just my baby, so I mean, like, that's
My baby too. A very, very close up shot of my cat.
Close up shot of his cat.
You don't have your girlfriend on there?
No, and she actually gets really upset about that because it's my home screen is my cat, but then my lock screen is my nephew, and my girlfriend is constantly trying to send me photos of her to replace one of those. But I told her, baby, you're number three for me. You can't, not at that point.
I'm not one to like get upset if I'm not on your screen. Like Andrew, my husband, doesn't have me on his screen.
Okay, so would you be upset though if MySpace was still a thing and you weren't in his top eight?
Oh, dude, if I'm not your number one, if you're not first, you're last.
Oh, so
even at my friends, like if I'm not first on your, don't put me in.
Well, wait, so don't even put you in if you're number two.
If I'm not in top four,
okay, so
my girlfriend,
that's different. All right,
yeah, because
so
nobody wants to be eight.
Well, I mean,
no, I do not want to be eight.
Huh?
No,
second
no
row
way.
And out.
Yes.
So you don't get angry at your husband about the picture on the lock screen, but you would get angry with him about not being in the top eight.
Yes.
What's his lock screen?
I'm pretty sure it usually changes to whatever interest he has at the time. So
guns, tactical vests, jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. I actually think it's like a Valhalla, like Vikings thing right now.
Oh, man.
You can't compete with that.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
You know, there's something about a dentist. You wouldn't want a dentist to be shady, right? Because
no way.
You're very vulnerable when you're at the dentist, and you want somebody that is honest and hardworking and obviously an expert in their field.
Yeah, they want somebody who puts you at ease, which is why the oldest dentist trick in the book is to hire super hot dental assistants.
Does that put you at ease?
Having hot dental assistants?
Well, it makes you want to go back.
Yeah, that's true. So an Anchorage dentist who extracted a patient's tooth while on a hoverboard was sentenced on Monday to 12 years in prison for dozens of charges. You might have seen this. I mean, this was a thing when he first got busted, and now he's just been sentenced, which is why it's back in the news. But this guy was running like this crazy operation where, again, one of those little hoverboard things, you know, that were popular a few years ago. He was standing on that thing while extracting a tooth, and like
the guy didn't know because they were
out cold,
out,
right? Yeah, but everyone in the room is sort of like laughing and joking.
No, that's not a joke.
But that's not the only thing. He also was defrauding Medicaid. He's been sentenced to prison now, 46 charges. In 2016 alone, him and his office manager billed $2 million in 2016 in unjustified IV sedation expenses.
I was going to say, this
$2 million dollars in a single year.
This guy sounds like he takes home a lot of the nitro or whatever it is to make you fall asleep.
You know,
he doesn't seem very nice.
You know, when he's in prison, somebody is inevitably going to be like, you sure do got a pretty mouth there.
Yeah, so they're saying that he will not be allowed to practice medicine during his 10-year probation following his release from prison.
And, 10 years, that's it?
Well, I mean, 10 years probation after the prison sentence.
Oh, so he's never practicing again.
Yeah, it seems pretty unlikely. But this guy, piece of dirt, and, you know, glad they busted him. And
shocking that the guy doing dental work on a hoverboard was a scumbag.
Weird how that works out, right? Yeah. Walks like a scumbag, talks like a scumbag.
Rides a hoverboard like a scumbag.
Yep. A Florida man admitted Wednesday to a drug trafficking crime after the Montana Highway Patrol pulled him over and seized 78 pounds of pure meth.
Oh.
Yeah, that's about a quarter of a million doses during a traffic stop. He's a 30-year-old. His name is Nichols James Imhoff from Cape Coral, Florida. He pleaded guilty to possession with intent to distribute meth. He faces a minimum mandatory 10 years in prison and a $10 million fine and at least 5 years of supervised release after his sentence.
Okay. 10 years does not seem enough for that amount of, like, methamphetamine.
It's a lot of meth.
And the $10 million fine, there's no way he's going to be able to pay that. So, no, I mean, he's just going to evade police after he gets out after 10 years.
Well, his paychecks will just be garnished forever. So this will lead him back to another life of crime. I mean, if you're...
Yeah,
if you
he's just going to get cash only.
I don't know about you, but like you get caught with 78 pounds of meth. I don't know if there is much rehabilitation that could come from that.
Yeah, I mean, again, 98% pure. So this meth was just straight up some Walter White stuff here.
Does that make it better?
A floor storage compartment in the second seat area, and some of it was in white plastic bags. Some of the meth was in vacuum sealed plastic bags, and some of it was wrapped in gray duct tape. I just don't really understand how you're going to get pulled over. Like, how are you going to break the law when you have 78 pounds? Yeah. A pure methamphetamine in your car.
Yeah, rule one of being a criminal. You don't break the law while you're breaking the law.
And finally, Jimmy Kimmel isn't shying away from the shortcomings of hosting the 72nd annual Primetime Emmy show. It is happening this Sunday on ABC. He said, quote, "I know everyone will get crazy when I say this, but this will probably be the lowest rated Emmys of all time." Which, you know,
we've been on a path there already, Jimmy.
I mean,
we
does anybody
you,
watch the Emmys or the Golden Globes?
They all suck
Grammys?
Now.
Is anybody watching award shows at all?
I read the recap, but they've all gotten to this point where they're just so political. And even if I agree, and I do agree with most of their causes that they're out there pushing, it's like you got 40 people in a row who are doing the same thing. It just gets tedious. Like, give me that one moment, the one moment where you get up there and you have some truly impassioned person who speaks very well and is able
just
to...
Just always make it Tom Hanks that gets to get up and give the speech, because there's something about the dad quality of Tom Hanks. You're like, I like that. And have Ricky Gervais host all of the shows.
Oh, I loved Ricky. Oh, that was good. Because he calls you out.
Yes.
And it's in the most perfect way where you're like, man, he is an ass, but he's right.
But he's my ass.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
I would classify this as must-not-see TV, but Madonna is co-writing and directing her own biopic.
Oh. You know, I am a fan of Madonna. I like her early work.
Really? She is such a douche.
I do, but she...
I can
separate the personal stuff from the music, and I do like her music. I do.
But all these, like, her doing shows and showing up 2 hours late and then berating
garbage.
The audience.
I would never go to a live concert, but, like, if Material Girl comes on the radio, I'm singing along.
Oh, I bet you are, Mahoney, your Tommy Bahama over
or
there.
Or Vogue.
Like a virgin.
Come on, Vogue.
Touch
yeah. I feel like if you're washed up, you can't show up 2 hours late. Like, you just can't.
Well, and also she's trying to basically be Miley Cyrus when she's 65 or whatever she is.
Yeah, I don't care about that. Man. Like, whatever, man. Like, you do. That doesn't bother me. The treating fans like garbage and just being too self-important. But like,
which is the MO of Madonna throughout her basically
entire
career.
Yeah, but like I said, I still like her music.
All right. Well, she's co-writing and directing her own biopic, which I'm sure will be a very honest representation of her.
Of her, for sure.
So if you're a fan of the Killers, this is kind of cool. I mean, the whole thing with the pandemic and, you know, football is back, but they had some fans in the stadium on Thursday nights in week number one where the Chiefs were playing against the Texans. But basically every other stadium has been totally empty. And Monday Night Football this upcoming week is the big debut at Allegiant Stadium with, you know, the opening of the $2 billion stadium, Saints coming to town. And this is kind of cool. The Killers are actually going to be playing at Caesar's Palace to open Monday Night Football and like the first NFL game to ever happen in Las Vegas. So, yeah, saw a report on Billboard about that today from our friend Melinda, actually. She did a piece on how the Killers are going to be playing for Monday Night Football for the very first football game in Las Vegas, which, you know, Killers being a Las Vegas band is kind of awesome. And any time that we get to see the Killers perform, I'm down.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's cool.
I mean, it'd be cooler if you could have like a stadium full of people.
No, what is that curmudgeon look on your face? What are you being a hater about?
I just don't know if the Monday Night Football crowd is going to appreciate the Killers.
There's not
going
to be a crowd there. That's the thing.
I mean, watching on TV.
Oh, come on.
I love the Killers, but I mean, you know, they
The Killers are one of the biggest bands in the world. Yes, I think they'll be just fine.
But they want, what's his name? Are you ready for some football?
Oh, Hank Williams, yeah.
Which I do miss him, even though he's kind of a dumb racist. But I do miss that intro.
Kinda, yeah. So, speaking of music, former Rolling Stones bassist breaking a record for the most expensive toilet seat sold?
What do you mean, toilet
seat? So there was a whole bunch of stuff that was getting auctioned off, including some of the like iconic guitars and basses that were played by the Rolling Stones. So one of them actually sold for almost $400,000.
Wow.
It was a 1969 yellow Fender Mustang bass with the competition orange finish. There was also a guitar that was used for recordings between 1969 and 1970 that sold for a whole bunch of money. Paul McCartney in 1964 had a very expensive sale. The guitar sold in auction for $204,000.
What about this toilet?
A yellow toilet cover with the iconic Stones logo fetched $1,142, making it the most expensive toilet cover of all time.
We could have bought that.
Yeah, is there,
we could have pulled our money and bought this toilet cover.
Is there a bunch of toilet covers that have sold at auction over time? Because $1,100 does not seem like that much money for the most expensive of anything of all time.
What's the one that sold for a grand? I want to know which one is now second most expensive toilet cover.
They're so mad whoever
also,
owns
it's
that one.
One of those like fuzzy ones, too.
Ew,
so
it's
like,
fuzzy?
Yeah. Can we just talk about what was going on in the 70s in bathrooms? You were putting carpet in the bathroom and you had fuzzy seat covers?
I was
what
in a bathroom
with you?
When I was up in Lake Tahoe over Labor Day weekend for that wedding. Remember
don't
how I told
it.
You the whole thing? They had to like split houses, and so they were basically taking whatever houses that they could get because the wedding Airbnb screwed the
so
wedding
you got
party.
A dirty house?
So, no, the other house that we didn't stay in, we went over there, and it was like a 70s love shack. They had all of these stuffed animals on the walls, mirrored walls as well in other places, and then I went into the bathroom to pee. Carpet not only fully in the bathroom, surrounding the toilet as well. I'm like, what is wrong with you people?
So it's fuzzy and yellow, so you can't even see if you need to clean up the pee.
Fuzzy
no,
and yellow.
That is just that is pink eye waiting to happen.
And finally, a very strange story. A 27-year-old woman who is a sumo wrestler that lives in Pennsylvania broke into a house to get her cat back, whose name is James Bond. Her cat had been kidnapped by her friend, who is a 34-year-old named Lauren, who is a mortician. And that's when her ex-roommate saw a sumo chance to break in and steal her cat back from the mortician.
Sometimes, she needs to change his name. James Bond, if you have to get rescued as a cat, you got to change your name to something different.
Also, yeah. I mean, am I missing something about Pennsylvania? Is sumo wrestling big up
yeah,
there?
Yeah, big sumo capital up there in Pennsylvania. Okay. Yeah, like is she actually
Are
a sumo
sure
wrestler or is she just fat?
Yeah.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free. There's a lovely spot, just the only one that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me. It's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine. Out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.